That was my attempt at humor. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I hope you came to see Jesus this morning. I hope you came to get close to God. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I'm going to give you some things that God's given me over the last 72 hours. Luke 22, 31. And it should sing like this. And the Lord said, are y'all seeing that? I hear pages turning. Everybody's going to Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, y'all see it? I hope y'all know where we're at. If you're in Luke 22, we're getting close to the cross. Jesus is getting close to the cross. When you get close to his cross, and when you get close to your cross, things change. Your friendships change. People change. And the devil changes. Amen? When you get close to the cross, you start speaking different, talking different, looking different, acting different. Some of you, I'll explain it this way. Some of you, when you get to a certain age and you've had a few close calls with death, amen? You stop treating people like you have something to worry about. Listen, I wish there was somebody in here that was old enough to say, sometimes I just don't care. What are you going to do, kill me? Hey, amen? I know there's a couple in here. If you ask them what they think, they'll tell you what they think. Because guess what? The worst thing you can do to them is kill them. And they've been here a long time. Oh, come on. Well, see, what Jesus done is Jesus got close to the cross, and when he did, he looked around and he said, I know the person that's dipping with me into my food this evening is going to deceive me, betray me. I know you. Sometimes, praise God, when you get your cross and when you get to Jesus' cross, you can look around the room and say, I know you're not for me, you're against me, and that's okay. I'm telling you who you are. You can also look at some people and say, listen, I know you don't agree with everything I'm doing, but everything I'm doing is for Jesus. And then you can look at your friends and say, guess what? God's got a plan for you. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, guess what? In the kingdom, you guys are going to sit in seats right up there with me, and you're going to judge the whole world and even angels. And they were like, woo! Let's get it on. Amen? So when you pick up your cross, things are going to change. If you don't pick up your cross, then I ain't going to promise you any change. You can be lost, and you ain't going to see no change. You can be saved and not see any change because you won't take up your cross. You won't get close to his cross, and you definitely won't get close to your cross. But if you ever do, things will change. People will change. Your friends will change. The enemy, you might want to write this one down, will change. The devil you read about in comic books and thought about little stories, red horns and a pitchfork and a little pointed tail, he will become so real to you that in the morning time you'll swear that you smell his breath. Some people told me when I was growing up, man, you better watch out. Devil's going to get on your back. Man, I wished he would get out on my back and get out of my face. Hey, man, I like him on my back, but he's usually about right here. Letting me know, amen? And when you take up your cross to go serve him, he's going to let you know you got an adversary. You got an accuser. You got a wolf. You got a lion. You got a bear. You've got a fight. You've got an enemy. You got a worthy adversary. You got one who goes to and fro in this world, and he is powerful. But then there is one on the inside of me that says, there is one greater in you than he that is in the world. No, listen, I want to move on, but I ain't in a rush. If you are, I'm sorry. See, Jesus, see the demons say, we are legion because we are many. Your devil say, well, we've been doing this for a long time. But guess what? Jesus stands up and says, I am the Son of God. And the devil say, oh, please don't cast us out. Amen. If you'll ever tap into the Jesus in you, he's stronger than the devils in your world. Amen. You just got to be willing to tap into him. You got to be willing to push through with that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, we're close to the cross. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. If he says your name twice, listen. Amen? If God says your name twice, some of y'all, problem with you is you talk to God, you pray to God, you read about God, but you never listen to God. You got a one-sided relationship with God. You talk to him, but you never let him talk back. Some of you say, well, I don't ever hear him. One, get a good relationship with your Bible. Then get a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, that when you feel the nudge of God, he'll send you and tell you and stop you and hold you and all kinds of different things. Amen, preacher, you're doing well. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. Man, listen to the language. Jesus looks over at Simon right after he says, you're going to be in heavenly places doing great things. But guess what? Before you get there, I want to tell you something. The devil's wanting to sift you. I don't know if you see, in our common life, we don't know what sifting means. Used to, they would know right away what sifting means. That means wheat. They would go to the garnering floor. They would go to the floor where they sifted the wheat. And it would usually be on a hillside. And they would get on the hillside because the wind would pass better on the top of a mountain. You ever notice the wind on a mountain? Some of y'all could amen me on some of the stuff that we do know. Amen? They would build their winning floors or their sifting floors on the top of hills and mountains where the wind would catch the chaff and blow it away, and the wheat would weigh more and it would fall to the ground. And Jesus said, guess what? The devil. Who? The devil? You mean the Lord would let the devil mess with his own people? I have to read it a couple of times and say, wait a minute, Lord, can't you fix the problem? Yes, I can, but I can use some tools that you're not really accustomed to. Man, I wish you'd help me preach. Some of you wonder sometimes if the Lord has allowed the devil to get in to do a little sifting. And if he's sifting, there's three reasons why he wants to sift. One, he wants to separate. He wants to throw you up in the air and see if the things will separate. And Jesus is looking at you saying, it's all right. Some things need to come apart. Some of y'all need to come apart from things that are not important. Sometimes, God, I wish I had somebody that's been through some stuff in here. You get sifted. If you get in the right circumstances, praise God, your car, your job, your house, your things will disappear and you will start to talk about the things that matter. Baby, you matter. When I say baby, I mean your wife matters. Honey, you matter. Your husband matters. Your kids matter. Golly bum. Is there any? Man, you get sick enough, hurt enough, broken enough, sifted enough. Praise God. That new car, guess what? In 20 years, you'll be thinking that thing's a piece of junk anyway. You'll be sitting there going, baby, I love you. Man, praise God. It's hard to ride around in a new car or a new boat and live in a new house with cancer. Amen? Because, praise God, without your health, amen, everything else disappears, amen. When people are talking about what I'm going to do next year, and you're sitting there praying, God, I hope I'm here next year, amen. That's when the devil sifts you and separates. And God said, it's all right to be sifted because I want you to realize what's important. I want you to see exactly what's important in your life. Is it your stuff or is it me? Is it the blessing or the blesser? Some of y'all have fell in love with the blessings and fell out of love with the blesser. Because when God comes calling, you say, no, because I can't, because all of my stuff. And he said, where did you get the stuff? Well, I worked for it. Yeah, with all them talents and abilities. Where'd you get them from? Amen? Did you forget that I knit you in the womb? Did you forget that I made you, designed you, gave you everything, and now all of a sudden you got all the stuff and you forgot about me? When you're sifting, guess what? You find out the most important relationship you got is with Jesus. Because the night before that, Peter's like, hey, Lord, I'm going to go with you to death. That same night when the devil was sifting, he looked across the room at a man that he said, I do not know him. He even cussed a little. I'm sorry, it's in the Bible. Ain't you one of them that used to run with Jesus? No. Wait a minute. You are one of those guys. You talk like him. Nah, you don't know what you're talking about. The last time, one guy looked at him, wait a minute. I've seen you. You're one of the main ones. You're the little rock. Jesus is the big rock. You're the little rock. Yeah. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And he looked dead across the room, and Jesus was looking at him. And he went out and wept bitterly. Amen? Being totally sifted to pieces. And it was all right with Jesus. Man, some of y'all sitting here, you get in a little trouble and you think God's forsaking you. A little trouble means God is closer to you. Amen? God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Amen? He gets in the place of trouble. There's only two places God gets into. He inhabits praise and gets into trouble. If you ain't praising him, hello, trouble. Amen? Because if you won't talk to him when you're doing well, what do you expect him to do? Golly bum. Some of your best prayers have come from a hospital bed. Some of your best prayers have came from jail. Some of your best prayers have come when you've been sick. Some of your best prayers have come when you didn't think nobody was going to come help you. Amen? And God's all right with that. Ain't that scary? Let's listen to the language. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, your faith in me fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And I read this probably 100 times, maybe more. I don't know. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I've read it a lot. And every time I read it, and I hear Jesus said, hey, Satan wants you, and I prayed. Ron, I think like this. The devil wants me. Whoop him. So, oh, I'm sorry. Well, y'all can't be real in church. Y'all have been the same way. Thanks, Jesus, for the prayers. Thanks for shooting one up for me. Thank you for letting one loose. No. When I first read that in my human body, when I read it, I looked at it and I said this. God, I appreciate you praying, but could you like put a wall of angels around me instead? Come on, somebody be real with me. Hey, God, you said the devil's going to sift me to tear me apart and pull me apart and do all kinds of stuff to me. And you say you prayed, but I thought, God, wouldn't it be better with a hot bolt of lightning? You cast him out before, can you cast him out again? Lord, you're more powerful than him. Why don't you just stop talking and just get him in the name of Jesus. Amen? You ever heard that? Just tell him to get on down the road. Resist the devil and he must. I'm resisting God. Tell him to go on. He said, I prayed, and then all of a sudden I heard it in my spirit. I heard it in my spirit. I didn't hear it in my flesh. Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, I prayed for you. Golly, y'all ain't got it. I went into a dimension that you can't go into. I went into a spirit realm. I went into a world that you don't even know really truly exists. You know it exists, but you don't know anything about it. I went into it and spoke. I went into it and said, listen, devil, listen, demons, listen, eternity. I know who you're messing with. You're messing with my child. I'm his father. I'm his brother. I'm his savior. And guess what? You might think you got him, but praise God, I want you to know when I speak it, worlds are included. When I spoke it, it happened. Some of y'all are sitting there going, what happens if God just spoke? God spoke the whole world into existence in 6 days. Everything that you hold dear, God spoke it in 6 days. God said, let there be light. And everything in the universe lit up. And that was a day or two before he made the sun. You're sitting here going, God, why'd you speak? God said, I'll speak into the present. I will speak into the future. And I will speak into generations with the things that are going on with you. He said, I have prayed for you. Peter, everybody, listen, y'all got to get this. Everybody's going to see you fail. God, y'all better get this. Peter, everybody's going to watch you fail. I have prayed for you. And while I'm praying for you, I'm not looking at you right now. I'm looking at future you. I'm looking at you on a throne in glory, you. I'm looking at you being a preacher, you. I'm looking at you looking at somebody who's going to write 3 epistles in the New Testament. I'm the one who's watching you on the day of Pentecost preach when 3,000 and 5,000 will be added to the church. I'm looking at you and seeing you walk down the street and the sun hitting past you in shadows and people being healed. I'm looking past your failures and I'm looking to your success. Aren't you glad that God can pray for you and look at you and be your advocate and stop seeing your failures and see how you're going to develop? He looked at him right then. He said, oh, I'm going to go with you even to death. No, you're not. You're going to deny me 3 times. That means you're going to deny me 3 times before the morning time, before the rooster crows. But I'm not talking about that only. I'm praying for you. Golly bum, I wish some of y'all would get that. Some of you in this room, if you're lost, guess what? You need an advocate. You need somebody who's on your side, who's on your behalf, and that's Jesus. And you know what? He can look past your drug addiction, your jail, your pornography, your lying, your stealing, your divorces, your adultery, everything else. He can look past that and see a saved you, an eternal you. He looked right at Peter and said, I don't see you as a failure. I see you as a helper. I see you, somebody is restoring some people. Some of y'all are sitting here right now. Some of you are sitting with the sin of your life still on you. Whew. Some of y'all came from a bad thing this morning. Some of y'all woke up and had to convince yourself to come. Some of y'all are trying to say, well, I'm coming for this or I'm coming for that. But guess what? I want you to know this. Jesus is coming for you. He's coming for you in a word. You're sitting here in the midst of a divorce. Some of y'all are in the midst of one. Some of y'all are in the midst of adultery. Some of y'all are in the midst of pornography. Some of y'all used drugs before you came this morning. Some of y'all are in bad situations. You're sitting there going, how do I get out? And Jesus said, I prayed for you. Jesus was praying for you while he was hanging on a cross. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He's waiting for you to come. I love it when he said, I prayed for you. I'll see you stumble. Everybody will. They'll write about it. There's more people hung up on Peter's failure than they are after his failure. And some people are hung up on your failures more than your successes. That's all right. It's just sometimes. You reap what you sow. Amen? But guess what? I don't care how the world sees me. It's how he sees me. He said, the devil is going to sift you. You're going to deny me 3 times, and you're going to leave. Listen, y'all, look back at the scripture. Please look at the scripture and watch. That ye, listen to this, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Look at this. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You know what that word right there means? Listen to this, brother. Listen. You know what that word means? Turn. When I turn you, not if, when I turn you, after your biggest failure, after your biggest mess, after everybody had you as the next leader, the next thing, man, he's good just by himself. Jesus, Peter's over there, I ain't good by myself. That's one thing he learned during the sifting, and some of y'all need to learn it. I could do this without Jesus. No, you can't. No, you can't. Let Jesus pull his hand off you and his grace and mercy off you. You'll be rolling around in the dirt in no time. Some of you, I'm strong. I've been doing good for about 5 years. Yeah, without Jesus, you wouldn't do good for 5 minutes. Amen? I love what he says. He says, when you're converted, when I turn you. Some of y'all, listen, you're saved as you can be. You love God. You just got some messes going on. Some of y'all, before you leave this morning, you need to let Jesus turn you. There's another word for turn in the Bible. It's called repent. Amen? That's all repentance is turning. Some of y'all need to come up here and say, God, this is who I've been, this is what I've been doing, and I want to turn from it. I repent. That means I'm never going to go back to it. I don't want to go back to it. And with your strength, we ain't going back. Because when I'm turned from it, God, did I just say turned from it? I did. Don't laugh. I kind of liked it. When you're turned from it, then help the brethren. Right, man? Then help the brethren. I want y'all to see some things that happened. Peter failed. He failed on an epic level. But after Jesus was resurrected. When? After Jesus was resurrected. He was resurrected and some people came to the tomb. In Mark 16 and 7, some people came to the tomb. And he said he wanted the disciples to know that he was resurrected. Amen? I don't know, this might not mean anything to anybody else in this room, but this right here changed my life when I was about 1 year into faith. Because I thought, man, I'm a born-again Christian, but I keep doing stuff, saying stuff, and thinking stuff that I shouldn't. So God can't use nobody like me. But then look, Mark 16, 7 says, but go your way. He's resurrected now. He's from the grave. And the last thing Peter ever done was deny Christ 3 times. Okay, you good? What's this? But go your way, tell his disciples. Huh? Well, ain't that neat? What does that say? And these, sorry, I got the, it's 16:7. Somebody read that for me since I'm down here. Go your way and tell your disciples and Peter. What's that? And Peter that goeth before you into Galilee, therefore you shall see him as he saith unto you. There's 10 of them. Amen? Not counting Judas. Go tell the disciples and Peter. He reinforced. Right now, Peter is broken. Right now, he's a mess. Right now, the devil's on his shoulder screaming and sifting and pulling apart. God don't need you. God can't use you. In your, on the worst day, on the best time that you could have served, when you could have stood up, you told him the night before, remember yesterday, you said, I will die with you. The devil was screaming in his ear. And somebody came. Somebody came. Hey, Jesus wants all the disciples. I don't even think I am one anymore. Probably don't want me. No. He didn't say it like that. He said he wants all the disciples. And you, Peter. Come on, man. Somebody's got to be in here that needs to hear your name. And you. You got saved too. God forgave you of your sins. You're born again. But you got into some trouble. Maybe more trouble than anybody in the church has got into. He's screaming your name this morning. Yeah, I want the saints, but I want you. I want you. I want you back. I died for you. I forgave you, and I'll do it again. Go tell the disciples and Peter. My grandmother had passed away, and I had lied and cheated and done a bunch of bad stuff to my parents in my life. I was in my early 20s. And I didn't plan on going to the funeral. I didn't plan on going to the funeral because I had lied so much and cheated so much and that I thought there was no forgiveness for me, for my family. Yeah, I'm different today a little bit. You can let go of your purses. But my cousin came. His name's Michael. He came to me and he met me in a place. I'd like to tell you it's a great place. It wasn't. But he came up to me and he said, you need to come to your grandmother's funeral. And I said, I'm probably going to go. I wasn't going to go. He said, my dad and your dad told all the grandkids to be there. And he pointed right at my chest, but he said, Kevin, your dad said he wants you there. It's okay. Everything's been forgiven. It's okay. Come home. And I remember when I was lost and that happened to me, it was a big deal because I did go, and nobody ever brought up any of the stuff that I'd done, and I thought, man, these people are crazy. But I remember a time when he said, all the disciples, and because listen, your heavenly Father knows you. He knows all the stuff you've been doing. He knows all the lies you've told. He knows all the drink and the sex. He knows all about it. And he's still sitting there going, hey, and you too. And you too. I want you too. I don't just got perfect people. I've got authentic people. Amen? And authentic people, authentic things come with blemishes and scars. Duplicates don't. Fabricated stuff, cheap stuff, not real stuff, don't come with mess up stuff on it. He said, restore him. Well, if that ain't enough, he takes him to John chapter 20, verse 15. I love this. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Jesus comes to the shoreline. He's been resurrected, and they still don't believe it, and neither would you. If you've seen Jesus beat beyond recognition one day, and then 3 days later you've seen him resurrected, you'd still have a hard time swallowing him because you couldn't fathom it. But Peter, being the leader that he was, turns and he says, I go a fishing. And he got tax collectors and people that, doubting Thomas, who doubts everything, who was like, whatever. He got them all to get in a boat and go fishing when they wouldn't even fishermen. He said, his leadership spoke, he didn't. I go a fishing. They all jumped in the boat and went fishing. And Jesus shows up on the shoreline, one of my favorite places in the whole Bible. Remember this. It's one of my favorite places in the whole Bible. And Jesus shows up on the shoreline the next morning, let them fish all night. They didn't catch nothing. If you're saved, and guess what? You're born again, and you got Jesus, you can go back to doing your old junk. You ain't going to catch nothing. You're going to waste time. You're going to be miserable. You're going to try to figure out why in the world am I sitting here wasting my life. They toss that net in and out, in and out, in and out. And some of the people like Thomas, and he's like, why are we even out here? This ain't fishing. This is stupid. I ain't never come back out here again with you. Well, I ain't out here to fish, really. I'm just trying to get my mind off of Jesus. Some of y'all are just trying to get your mind off Jesus. I hate to tell you, it don't work that way. And Jesus, what an awesome Savior. He shows up on the shoreline. He's looking out there at the boat like I'm looking out at some of you. Hey. What? Because that's how we talk to Jesus when we're out in sin. What do you want? You got any fish? No. Got nothing. Mind your own business. I know it's not King James Version, but it's close enough. Hey, if you'll... Can I go back? I forgot a part. Can I just go back one part? That's why it's my favorite part, though. He didn't say, hey, you rotten, dirty, low-down, denying scoundrels, do you have any fish? He said, children! Children! You got any meat? You have any fish? What would you have called them? He's still calling them his kids. He's still calling you his kids. Got any meat? Got any fish? No. If you'll cast the net on the other side of the boat, it's an 8-foot boat. What does it matter? Fish are swimming underneath. Just throw it over on the right side. Man, this sounds just like Jesus. Thomas said, what do we got to lose, man? Throw it on the other side. We've been here all night. They let the net down, and they began to pull, and they couldn't pull it up. And the one whom Jesus loved, John says, it's him. He showed up again. Even when we're not where we're supposed to be and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be fishing for men. We're supposed to be waiting for the resurrection, but we're in a boat in a bad place and we're all failures. And there he is calling us children and we're hauling in a good haul again. And when they brought it up to the land, they pulled it up and they couldn't even hardly get the net to the shoreline. And they're like, hey, Jesus, look at all this fish. He goes, yeah, well, come on up here if you want some breakfast because I've already got some cooking for you. You're wasting your time trying to get something that I can give you without any effort. They're like, wait a minute, wait. When did you cook? They're all eating breakfast, and he says, Peter, walk with me. I need you to walk with me. He's like, yeah, Lord. If you remember the story, when he first seen him, Peter jumps out of the boat, and he ran. Some of y'all come back to church, and you're excited, but you forgot that Jesus is here. And he knows how you've been living. And you run to him, but when you get real close to him, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Last time I seen you, I denied you. I mean, Peter run all the shoreline. He's like, Jesus! He's like, oh, Jesus. You know, like, oh, Jesus. Sorry. And Peter's like, hey, just go ahead and get some food. Help with these guys pulling these fish in. And they got to eat, and he said, let's walk with him, will you? Walk with me. Golly, I wish some of y'all just walk with Jesus sometime. He started walking with him. He's like, hey, Peter, do you love me more than you love those fish? Do you love me more than you love doing whatever it was that you used to do before? You love me? Peter said, Jesus, I love you. Oh, good, good. He walked a little bit further. He goes, hey, he said, feed my sheep. And he said, hey, Peter, can I ask you another question? Yeah, Lord, go ahead. Ask me another question. You love me? Man, Lord, you love me again? You just asked me that. Lord, I do love you. I love you more than anything. It's good, good, good. Feed my sheep. He said, wait a minute. Walks a little bit further and looks at him and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter got smart. He said, I remember a conversation that me and you had in the upper room. I said I would follow you. God, help me. Y'all stay in here with me. I will follow you anywhere. I will follow you unto death. And Peter, and Jesus says, no, you won't. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Right? So Peter got wise to it. He said, Jesus, you know me. You know my heart. If I'm lying, tell me. I love you. I don't just love you for what you are and what you, my God. I agape love you. I love you. Y'all need to get this because this is Jesus. I love you if you never do another thing for me again. I love you regardless. I love you right. He looked at him and said, feed my lambs. Totally restored. Amen. And do y'all remember when he said, when you're turned, I want you to help the brethren? Amen? He did it. He did it. 1 Peter 5:8, he says, listen to this. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How in the world do you think he knows that? Because one day, Jesus let the lion loose. And Peter's sitting here right now going, hey guys, listen. You better trust me on this. If the devil ever gets loose on you, he is like a roaring lion. You can't do nothing about it. So you better be clear-minded, amen? And you better be very vigilant. I think sometimes the church is drunk. What do you mean? We're not very sober-minded. We worry about things that we shouldn't worry about and don't worry about the things that we should worry about. We mind our own sin and we major on little imperfections of each other in the church. They did this or they didn't do that, or why are we doing this and why are we doing that? While the whole focus should be on how do we reach the world with the gospel. Amen? Be sober. Be vigilant, because we have an adversary. And he said he is like a roaring lion. Do you know what? If a roaring lion was in this room right now, we would have a panic on our hands. Because guess what? He would be going to and fro, and people would be screaming and hollering and running out of here doing this. And you know what? Then some people would begin to pray, and then some people would do some warfare, and then some people would try to challenge that lion to save their, my God. And some people would start saying, we need to do something about this. We need to get this lion out of here. He's wreaking havoc in our kids. He tried to get the infants. Then he tried to get the kids. Then he tried to get the teenagers. Then he tried to get the women. And then, you wouldn't believe this, but he tried to get the men. Man, if there was a lion loose in here, there he is. Satan's loose in our world. Satan's loose in our families. What are you going to do about it? You going to pray about it? You going to do some warfare with him? Or are you going to not let him have your infants, your kids, your teenagers, your wife, or your husbands? How do we fend off a lion? Same way Daniel did. He was surrounded by lions. He just knelt down and said, God, you're more powerful than the lions around me. Some of y'all need to hear this message. You think you're a failure. You think you've done too much and gone too far, and Jesus don't love you. The devil might be ripping some of y'all to pieces, but I want you to know this. Jesus is praying for you. I'm praying for you that you would come and get a hold and be turned. Some of y'all just need to turn. Turn to Jesus. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.